Welcome to Classical Companion. I'm Diane Jones, and over the next weeks and months, I'll be chatting with artists and arts organizers throughout the region about the music that they turn to in these challenging times. Today, I'm speaking with Ida Trebiska. Ida is on the faculty at Syracuse University. She's also on the board of both Civic Morning Musicals and the Syracuse Friends of Chamber Music, and she's going to share some of her thoughts and some of her music with us. Ida, thank you so much for sharing these with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Diane. I'm very excited to talk about music today.
Before we get too far into the music, I do want to do a quick check-in with you and see how you're doing and how Civic Morning Musicals is dealing with these challenging times.
Well, good question. And I am sure you probably are getting similar answers from other representatives of other organizations. These are hard times, and we were forced to close the season early. I've got to say, we had a fabulous season. Our last concert featured Star Strong and his brother in the quintet for horn and cello and violin and piano, and it was a big success. We had a full house down at the Park Central Presbyterian. So were our Wednesday concert very popular, and they're being attended very well. Unfortunately, we had to stop with the season, and hopefully we will rebook some of those concerts for the following season. And the artists, of course, have been great, and we are trying to do all sorts of online live stream from our members, keep our website updated just so we are visible. You know, and saying music is here, we're here.
Absolutely. We don't want to lose sight of that because we have such an incredible arts community here. So,
exactly.
Now, what is it that you look for in music when you turn to music to kind of escape from the day-to-day stresses like this? What is it that you were looking for when you were putting this list together for us?
Well, first of all, I thought what you're doing is amazing. It's just so important. And it just made me think, because I love thousands of works, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, if you see from my list, particular classical works and particular romantic works basically stood out to me. Mostly works that have a lyrical feel to them, and works from Grieg, from Rachmaninoff, also Mozart, Bach, and some choral works or opera choruses. And just to me, that romantic feel, that soothing sensitivity of the music is just what spoke to me. I check my Facebook, we have time now, all the time, and a lot of my pianist friends and colleagues, they are putting videos, they're recording themselves and sharing their music, and I think that is just tremendous. And we're all listening and getting ideas and socializing that way when the distance socializing is physical. We're socializing that way, keeping in touch that way with each other. And so we're doing it through music.
And part of that is the commonality of listening together. So I'd love to start going down this list that you sent to us. We're starting out, and you mentioned this. Grieg, I know, is one of your favorites. He's written such beautiful piano music. So tell us about the Grieg that you chose.
Well, I chose the Morning Mood from the Peregrine Suite, which is music of Henrik Ibsen in 1867 with a poem of the same name. So Grieg premiered this work on February 24th, 1876 in what is now Oslo. Grieg was, of course, a nationalistic composer. His music takes a lot of national folk tunes, that's a lot of titles from Scandinavian influences in poetry. So he composed many short piano pieces and chamber works, and the work he did for Ibsen stood out, originally 90 minutes of orchestral music for the play. And so he went and extracted certain sections and then created two suites, suite number one and number two. This one is Morning Mood. Morgenstimmung is from the first suite. And it's just a beautiful melody that Grieg also wrote for solo piano, and he also transcribed it for four hands that my friend Amy Eamon and I have played many times, and I've played with my students a lot. And it's just a beautiful melody, and it reminds us that the sun comes up every morning. The spring is here, and it's life is beautiful. And I just thought about it, and I chuckle when I hear that music. It's just so beautiful. And it just really depicts the rising of the sun, and then the birds, the air, the trees, the flowers. And it sets the mood for the whole suite.
Well, let's take a listen. This is the piano solo version with Ava Gnardal performing.
Great.
You're a pianist. I know people know that of you, so I know that speaks so deeply to you.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say that the piano version is just so beautiful with the arpeggios in the right hand and the left hand, and it's just in E major, which is a beautiful, beautiful key. And it has that flow, and it's just such a singing tune that it just grows. It has a beautiful climax, and then it ends up in such a peaceful way.
Well, this is another peaceful work, and it is interesting to me as I get these various lists, the things that come up in common on people's lists. And this came up on another list as well, music from Samuel Barber. Tell us about this, how this speaks to you.
Well, I was introduced to this piece as a teenager in Albania growing up. I hadn't heard much about Barber. And so when I first heard that, it just took my breath away. I wanted to hear it again and hear it again. Our music history teacher had a disc, and this was one of the most beloved pieces that people would, and we didn't listen much of American music, believe me. But this was just, again, one of those pieces that the harmony of the strings is unbelievable. And it's probably arguably his best known arranged for string orchestra. It's taken from the string quartet, Opus 11. And it's played quite extensively. And I think it's the harmony.
Mm-hmm.
The harmony, the way the voices move to weave this beautiful, beautiful harmonic pattern. It just speaks to me so much. It touches me so deeply. And there is a reason why people love it. And there is a reason why people are drawn to it. I know that Toscanini was one of the first people to conduct this, and because Barber sent him a version, an orchestrated version, and he sent the word to Menotti and all that, that he was playing to perform this piece, and he had already memorized it. That's why he returned the score to Barber like in a second, and Barber was didn't know why that happened. It was because Toscanini said, I memorized it. I couldn't put it down.
Oh.
And so it speaks to it's molto adagio. It's very slow, which allows you to meditate and to internalize the sound itself. And it's just one of my favorite pieces anyway. And the climax of it is what makes it just that human. It's got a human connection, the climax with the dissonant chords, that it's our human struggle, and then at the end it's resolved, clear in ordinary life and humanism. I just love it. It's just one of my favorite pieces ever.
Let's take a listen to Barber's Adagio for Strings. I've said it before, this is one of those pieces that has, I listen to a lot of music, but this is a piece that it reaches into your heart and just takes a hold, I think.
It really does.
Now, I think I know why you've chosen this next work, because it's the Rachmaninoff Suite for two pianos, so I'm sure it has some very personal meaning to you.
Yeah. This is a very, very special piece. Very, very special piece. I performed this a few times. It just encapsulates the Russian spirit. It has an introduction, a waltz, a romance, and a tarantelle. And it just displays the full pianism of Rachmaninoff. We know that he was an incredible pianist, and he had an impeccable technique. But this piece, if you look at the score, has chords like you cannot believe, like 18 notes at the same time that the two pianists would play, or even more.
Oh, my.
And on that perspective, is a very challenging but very uplifting and rewarding piece. Pianistically, but also it's very, very fulfilling musically. This piece, particularly, it took him a little while to complete because of the extent of it. It's a long piece. It took about 3 years to compose. You can hear Tolstoy in there. You can hear the colossus of Russian culture. The music had the breadth of the Russian set. And it's a Russian feel, and it's beautifully crafted, especially the third movement of the romance overflows with such lyricism and fantasy, and it's almost introspective with a central climax that it goes into the waltz middle section. But he closes this suite with a tarantelle, which is an Italian dance, which is, again, one of his best compositions because it crafts the finale that demands virtuosity from both pianists. And it just, the climax is unbelievable. As a 20th century, one of the greatest pianists, and so much renowned for his skill at the keyboard, he premiered this at a concert in Moscow, and it was very, very, very successful. But again, it is the lyricism, the grandiose of the work, the pianism, and the depth of the human emotions that make this piece stand out for me.
Let's take a listen to a bit of the Rachmaninoff Suite No. 2 for two pianos. That recording was Vladimir Ashkenazy and Andre Previn.
Great.
Now, who have you been able to play this
with? Can't get any better.
I don't think so. Who have you been able to play this with?
I played this home with a colleague of mine. And then actually, I played this in Syracuse with Marina.
Marina Mariskova.
Yes. And actually, it was one of the CMM Sundays. And I think there is. We played that in the Russian Suite, and we actually had a video playing at the display at the same time with paintings that she chose that depicted some of the scenes to go with the music.
I remember that. Yeah, so that was gorgeous.
2 years ago, and this was at the Iverson.
Now, there's no surprise to me that another work that you turn to is a Mozart piano concerto.
Yeah.
Talk to us about the particular concerto that you've chosen to share with us, the concerto number 21.
Yes, this concerto is one of my favorite in C major, K-467. He completed it in 1785, 4 weeks after he completed the D minor concerto, K-466. This is scored for solo piano, for flute, two oboes, two bassoons. I'm looking at the score. Two horns in C, two trumpets in C, a timpani, and strings. And this concerto has three movements. The first one, which is just a beautiful, beautiful movement, is in Common Time, Maestoso. The opening begins quiet with a march kind of figure and then becomes a lyrical melody with a fanfare kind of in the wind, and then this grows, the music grows so much in volume, and the violins take on the principal melody, which later is played by the brass. So he uses the orchestra so wisely and moves the theme from one section to the other. And then has this interlude that comes in a singing motif, and the march comes back. And I think is this concerto paves the way to Beethoven's concertos later. And as with his fantasy sonata, we see a lot of maturity of Mozart towards the later works and his operas, and it is just one of, for me, the most fulfilling music and one of the best. I mean, all of these concertos are fabulous, but this one especially, just amazing, with a cadenza at the end of the movement, which is not Mozart because his original has been lost. And then, of course, the second movement is the famous Andante in the key of F major in three parts, very, very, very famous. And the finale is a Rondeau movement that begins with a full orchestra exposing just a beautiful, joyous theme, and then the piano joins in after cadenza. So even the form is being expanded a little bit from the original classical form, sonata form. And there's cadenzas thrown in there, codas and introductions. And you can see the contribution of Mozart in the genre of concerto, big time, in expansion of the genre. So this is, speaks to me because the melody is just beautiful, pure beautiful.
Let's take a listen to that pure beauty of Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 21. Now, next on your list, you turn from Mozart to Bach and the Brandenburg Concerto No. 3. And out of the six Brandenburg concerti, why is it that you're drawn to No. 3?
Oh, just the spirit of it. It's in G major, so it makes it light and perfect for, you know, listening. And the beginning of the first section has a very driving melody, fast paced, and passed around the ensemble. And it's kind of like Vivaldi work that resonates through Bach, you know, structure. I played the eight hand version of it with my friends Steve, Amy Heyman, and Kathleen Haddock. We did it at one of the Lemoyne series. And it was a big success. It wasn't easy to work it out because the articulation of the theme is very particular. So we all had to work on the length of the notes, the staccatos versus portatos, and finding a tempo that is uplifting and sustainable. But it's one of my favorite, and just because of that, it's light, makes me happy.
Let's listen to the light. Let's listen to the happy here with Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 3. That is such a beautiful and light piece.
It's just so beautiful. Yeah, exactly.
Now, we have one more work on your list, and you're bringing in some opera for us.
Yeah, a special place in my heart.
Why does this have a special place in your heart? It's the Hebrew Slave Chorus from Verdi's Nabucco.
I grew up listening to my dad sing it. My dad was an opera buff, and he loved Kafka and Nabucco and Verdi and Puccini, and this was one of his favorites. My dad has left this earth a decade ago, but I think of him fondly, and one of the memories is him singing arias and how he introduced me to those and installed in me the love for opera, which is when you're young is not one of your favorite mediums, really. And of course, as you grow up, you start to appreciate it more and get to know more about it and study. But this particular one is Va Pensiero, or the Chorus of the Hebrew Slave, is from Nabucco by Verdi, and it's by the Babylonian captivity period, and after the loss of the first temple in Jerusalem, I think it's 586, according to my research, in BCE. And then the libretto is by Solera, and it's inspired by Psalm 137. This chorus is very powerful, and it really established Verdi as a major composer in 19th century Italy. Va pensiero sull'ai dorate means go through on wings of gold. And the melody, La mia patria, my motherland, my father, my motherland and my fatherland. And it just takes your breath away. And what's so beautiful, it starts with that unison with all the voices, and it just pierces through you. And it's cantabile. It doesn't have a long range, but it's just within an octave maybe or so. But it's just so powerful as a melody and sang in unison by the choir. But it definitely is one of my favorite choruses of all time.
We have a recording here from the St. Cecilia Academy Orchestra and Chorus led by Myung Mung Chung. So this is the Hebrew Slave Chorus from Verdi's Nabucco. That is so powerful to end our music together today. That is just absolutely, what an incredible choice. Thank you, Ida.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you for keeping music alive and keep going to work and serving up in many ways. And any way we can support you, we will do, because you're very important to keeping our culture going and our soul fed in many ways. And so we are very appreciative, Diane, for all you do.
Well, thank you. And I also want to see if you want to leave us with any thoughts on the power of music in keeping our community together in these times.
Yes, indeed. And I know that people have been trying in many ways how to do this, how to keep the music alive, but also how to support our musicians, our symphoria musicians, our freelance musicians, because they're the ones that do it for us. Our community, all of our organizations, I think they're keeping their websites going. They're putting notices out there. It's a trying time. It's a trying time that I haven't experienced in the past. So we're just being creative on how to keep talking about music and how to help in each other in these times. It's hard. It's very hard. But we can do this. We can do this.
We can do it, and we can do it together, even though we have physical distance.
Exactly.
We are still a community, and I think that's very important.
Yes. Yes, indeed. You guys are just doing an incredible job. I have the radio on all day.
We
appreciate it a lot.
We want to be sure that we keep you company, and I want to say thank you once again. I've been speaking with Ida Trebiska. She is on the board of Civic Morning Musicals, as well as Syracuse Friends of Chamber Music, as well as teaching at the Syracuse University Department of Music. So thank you again so much, Ida. You take care and you stay healthy.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you, and stay safe. Thank you.